Amen. Thank you so much, Miss Colleen. She is just a blessing to our senior adult choir as she accompanies our choir and as we do ministry around our community together. And today we want to share and worship with you today. So won't you stand with us, church family? Let's join together. Victory in Jesus, my Savior forever. Church family.
They are more than just names. More than blocks of stone set in rows. More than memories. They are our brothers and sisters. Our parents. And our children, friends, loved ones, and even strangers who believe that we were worth fighting for, that we were worth dying for. They stand for justice, for courage, for heroism and fearlessness in the face of danger. They stand for the brave men and women who selflessly answered the call and gave their very lives for the cause of freedom. Let us never take their sacrifice for granted, but instead remember with gratitude those who have served. Today, tomorrow, and every day thereafter. By the grace of God, if we walk upon free soil, if we breathe in the sweetness of liberty, let us give thanks, let us honor the fallen, and let us never forget.
Good morning. I'm glad that y'all are here today. It'd be lonely here by myself if you wasn't. But anyway, this is a holiday weekend, and everybody is just going everywhere. It's the first celebration of the summer, and everybody's planned trips, and everybody's gone today, but you chose to spend your time here, and I thank you for that, and I hope that it's just a blessing to you. I was thinking about being Memorial Day and remembering those that gave their life, and I found a thing on the internet, so it has to be true, right? If you find it on the internet, we think anyway, but anyway, I found this, and it said this: an unknown Marine after the Battle of Iwo Jima carved a slogan on a rock that stands outside the temporary cemetery that was there, where thousands of men were initially buried and then later moved. And here's what it said on that. It said, "When you go home, tell them for us and say, for your tomorrow, we gave our today." Isn't that touching? I've thought about that as far as my dad was on Iwo Jima, and he wouldn't talk about it for several years. He talked about he just kind of suppressed it. He wouldn't even watch a war movie. And in his later years, you know, he got where he talked about it some. He met some friends that were with him over there, and they started having a reunion, and he would talk about it a little bit. And he said one of the things that was so terrible about Iwo Jima is every night you'd have to move because the enemy would mark where the groups were, and then they would recalibrate the cannons and stuff, so they'd have to move at night. And he said that the ones that had fallen during the day, they would simply cover them with sand and leave a hand sticking out so they could find them to gather them up to put them in a temporary place later. And he said when you went at night, you had to crawl around. And he said, to this day, I can remember crawling into hands. And he said, it just turns my stomach upside down. We don't realize now the price that was paid for us. And I won't take a few more minutes. I got it. They're not going to come get me. But anyway, I was thinking about our country, and one of the problems of our country today, I think, is lack of respect. You know, I look around at people, you know, and you realize they don't even respect their bodies anymore. You know, they do things, and they take drugs and alcohol, and they do everything in the world just to ruin their bodies, and so they don't respect their bodies. And you find kids that don't respect their parents anymore. And it's just got to be a terrible thing. And we don't respect our leaders. You know, everybody has sarcasm to say about our government and everything. And we don't respect our flag anymore. I was thinking the other day, I had a friend that he's passed away now, but if he was still alive, Friday, he would have spent all day Friday just driving around Atkins and putting flags up. That's what he did because it was important to him. We don't respect our military like we should. Those that serve and those that have served, I don't believe we do it with just a lack of respect. And we don't respect those that gave their life for our freedom. We don't. Anymore, it don't seem like it's a thing that we remember. But most important, we don't respect our God. And I think that one of the big things with our country is the lack of respect. We just don't respect like we should. And I'm telling you what, I don't know about you, but I want to see our country great again. And it starts with respecting ourselves and respecting other people, and the price that was given for us, and all that. I'm here today to recognize the veterans also that we have in our church. If you'll notice inside your worship guide, I wanted to say bulletin, but there's a list of everyone that served in the military or is serving. And if your name is not on that list and you served in the military, it's my responsibility to have your name on this list. So if it's not there, or somebody you know that's a member of our church is not there, you come find me and let me know, because we sure want you to be there, and we sure want to honor you for all that. Also, as a church, we're blessed with several World War II veterans. And first off, the first thing today, as far as recognizing and honoring people, I want to honor those that served during World War II. And I ask you, if you served in World War II, to please stand so that we can honor you this morning. There you go. There you go. Thank you, guys. Thank you, and we have several more. I'm going to list the different military groups, and I will ask you to, when I call out the branch of service that you're in, I ask you to stand so that everyone can see you and see who you are. Then I'll ask you to sit down, and then we will go to the next one. I ask you to hold your applause to the end, and then we'll have everyone stand, and we want to honor them in that way. If you served in the U.S. Army, would you please stand? We have several. Thank you. If you served in the Navy, would you please stand? Okay. If you served in the U.S. Air Force, would you please stand? Thank you. If you served in the Marines, would you please stand? Okay, if you served in the National Guard, would you please stand? Okay. Did I miss any group or anybody? Coast Guard, I'm sorry. If you were in the Coast Guard, please stand. Okay, well, everybody that served in the military, now we ask you at this time to stand. If you served at all, in any branch at all, please stand so we can honor you. That's right. That's right. We thank you. There's nothing we can say to show our appreciation. Just the ability that we have today to come and worship together and is because of the freedom that people paid for, that people served. And we want you to know that above everything else, we are grateful and we thank you for the cost that you paid. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Mr. Keith. We are a blessed nation. God has given our great nation some wonderful people. And thank you all, as Mr. Keith just shared. Just thank you for being who you are to our servicemen and women and for giving so much. Man, we are so blessed. Thank the Lord for that. It's a special day in many ways. We have a wonderful privilege. This is going to be a Sunday where we recognize our Gideon's International folks and the ministry that they do around the world. And Mr. Bob Jones is going to be speaking with us this morning. It's going to be good. And Miss Anita Burke is sitting right here. Mr. Arnie's not going to be here this morning. He is not feeling very well. And if you would, lift him up in prayer as he comes to your mind. But we have a wonderful privilege of hearing from Mr. Bob Jones this morning. It's going to be a good day. And be praying for him, as in just a few moments he's going to come and share. But before we do that, we've got a few other things that we're going to do. Mr. Lyle is going to come and share with our kids today. So kids, if you're ready, we want you to come on down and join him right down front. He's going to have a special word to share with you today. Mr. Lyle, it's all yours.
Thank you. Good morning, everybody. I'm going to get my stuff set up here. Kids, if you just want to sit down here on the floor, I think that'll work pretty well. How's everyone today? Good, good. Today, I would like to talk to you about a passage in the Old Testament. It's probably not one that most people read every day. It's Isaiah chapter 59. And in that chapter, God is talking to the people of Israel, and he is telling them or reminding them about their mistakes, the sin, the things that they've done wrong in their lives. And in verse 2, God says this, "But your iniquities have separated you from your God." Your iniquities have separated you from your God. Iniquities, and that's a big word we don't use very often. I want to make sure you know what that word means. It's very, very simple. Iniquity means sin. Anything that we do wrong, when we lie, when we cheat, when we steal, when we disobey, we sin. That is a big poetic word called iniquity that God uses sometimes in place of the word sin. So when you read that verse, you could say, "But your sins have separated you from your God." Your sins have separated you from your God. That's important for us to remember and think about as Christians. Because you see, God's perfect plan for your life and mine is that we walk together with him, close to him. We get a picture of that in the Old Testament in Genesis, where God hints that he came down in the cool of the day and would walk and talk with Adam. How wonderful that must have been. And that's the goal of our lives, is to be close to God. But our iniquities separate us from our God. Imagine this, when you sin or when I sin, I take a sidestep away from God. And when I sin again, I take another sidestep. God doesn't move. I'm doing the moving. How many sins do I have to commit before I'm no longer walking with him? Before I'm no longer even able to carry on a conversation with him? You see, God wants us to be close to him, to walk with him. But our sin separates us from our God. Fortunately for us, we serve a God who is loving and kind and considerate and forgiving. God forgives. 1 John 1:9 says, "If I confess my sin, he is faithful and just to forgive me my sin and cleanse me from all unrighteousness." And that restores our fellowship with God. Now, I've brought a little demonstration here with me this morning to try to help you understand that a little better and explain it to you in a way that you might remember it. This is a paper cutter. I think this one came from Staples. There's nothing special about it. It's just an ordinary, plain paper cutter. And I'm also going to need my piece of paper, which, where did that go? Uh-oh. Does anybody have a piece of paper I can borrow? Just clean typing paper? Oh, wonderful, wonderful, wonderful. Thank you. I just need a portion of this. Ah, dodged a bullet there, didn't we? Let me take off just a little bit of this. There. You can have the rest back. Thank you. Thank you so much. Okay. I'm going to take this piece of paper, and I'm going to simply fold it in half. If I can do this, there. Now, I've got a magic marker here. I'm going to write some things on here. I'm going to write Jesus on the top and me on the bottom. This is my life. This is a picture of my life. Now, our sin separates us from our God. I'm not looking for confession time here, but what are some everyday sins that we struggle with as people? What are some, give me some ideas. What are some? Disobeying parents, that is, I'm going to put that on here. What's another one? Disobeying God. How should we put that? Let's just say disobey God. There, and what's another one? Lying. Okay, that's enough. All right. Here's my life. Can you see that? Jesus up here, me down here. My sin separates me from my God. Now you notice it's not on his side of the line. You see, God has done everything possible for us to have a relationship with him. Jesus went to the cross, he shed his blood, he went into the grave, he rose again. God's done everything for us to have the opportunity to walk close with him. But our sin separates us from our God. That's a problem. Thankfully, though, God forgives. Watch carefully. I'm simply going to fold the paper over, and I'm going to lay my sin in front of God and take it to the paper cutter of God's forgiveness, and I'm going to say, God, will you please forgive me for lying? And the Bible says, if I confess, he will forgive. And as far as the east is from the west, so far has he removed my transgressions from me, and I stand before him forgiven. So what does my life look like now? Well, let's take a look. I stand before him forgiven. But look at the really neat side effect. Do you see how much closer Jesus and I are now? I kind of like that, don't you? That's what God's talking about in Isaiah 59, verse 2. Don't you know that your iniquity separates you from your God? Well, let's look at that again. Let's talk to God about that disobedience to God. I'm simply going to fold the paper over, take it to the paper cutter of God's forgiveness and say, God, I'm so sorry for disobeying you. And God will forgive. And as far as the east is from the west, so far has he removed my transgressions from me. And what does my life look like now? Whoa. How does that work? I kind of like it, though. You see how much closer Jesus and I are now? I wonder what it would be like if you and I as Christians lived a godly life. And when we do make mistakes, we take them to God right away and say, God, will you please forgive me? Let's see. Fold the paper over. Take it to the paper cutter of God's forgiveness. And God, will you please forgive me for disobeying my parents? And as far as the east is from the west, so far has God removed my transgressions from me. And what do we have left? But Jesus and me, side by side, just the way God planned it to be. Do you understand what Isaiah 59, verse 2, why it's so important? But your iniquities, your sin, separates you from your God. And God's desire for your life and my life is that we walk close with him, side by side, all day, every day. Okay? Will you remember that? All right. You've been a good audience. Thank you. You can go back to your seats now.
Thank you, Mr. Lyle. Thank you so much. Thank you, kids, for coming down and joining us. What a wonderful moment. Share. Church family, why don't you stand again with us as we continue today. Let's sing this hymn, especially focusing on Gideon's International today, and, as they share the word of God literally around the world. We're going to share about those wonderful words of life that share the good news of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Let's sing this hymn together.
Wonderful words. wonderful words of life. Christ the blessed one give to all, wonderful words of life. Sinner, list to the loving call, wonderful words of life. Also freely given, moving us to heaven. Beautiful words, wonderful words, wonderful words of life. Beautiful words, wonderful words, wonderful words of life. Sweetly echo the gospel call, wonderful words of life. Offer pardon and peace to all, wonderful words of life. Jesus, only Savior, sanctified forever. Beautiful words, wonderful words, wonderful words of life. Beautiful words, wonderful words, wonderful words of life. Lord, you are more precious than silver. Lord, you are more costly than gold. Lord, you are more beautiful than diamonds, and nothing I desire compares with you.
Once again, sing that.
Lord, you are more precious than silver. Lord, you are more costly than gold. Lord, you are more beautiful than diamonds, and nothing I desire compares with you. I love you, Lord, and I lift my voice to worship you, O my soul. Rejoice, take joy, my King, in what you hear. May it be a sweet, sweet sound in your ear. I love you, Lord, and I lift my arms to worship you, O my soul.
Bless the Lord today. Well, ushers, I want to invite you to come forward if you would. And church family, as we prepare for this time of offering, before we do so, I want to share just a couple of details about this morning with you. This being Gideon's International Day, we are going to be taking two different offerings at two separate times. This time will be for our normal tithes and offerings that you may come and plan to already give. And at the end of the service, everything that goes into the offering plate at the very end of the service after the invitation, when we have that second offering time, that will be designated for Gideon's International. And if you end up writing a check to Gideon's International, for that time at the end of the service, you can write it to First Baptist Church. That will probably make things most simple. I believe just write it to First Baptist Church, and in the memo line or on the envelope, write Gideon's on that. But just wanted to distinguish the two different offering times for you this morning. Make sure we didn't get confused on anything. Mr. Jacob, would you come and lead us in prayer, sir? And thank you, ushers. Let's pray together.
Pray with me. Jesus, we just thank you for this day and what it means. Thank you for the freedom that you blessed us with. Just pray that we would take that freedom and tell everyone that we know about you. It's in your name I pray. Amen.
I dream of a city called glory, so bright and so fair. As I entered the gates, I cried, "Holy."
Holy.
Well, how about another big hand real quick for our choir up here this morning? And Miss Stiles, thank you so much for playing for them. God bless you. That is a sweet bunch of folks right there who love the Lord and love their church and love their pastors. And I appreciate every single one of them. It's my privilege this morning to get to introduce a guy that most of you know very well to come and speak today, Mr. Bob Jones. But before we do that, I know Arnie is at home and suffering from some issues, a bleeding ulcer, and I'd like to take an opportunity to just pray for him right now, if that's okay with you guys. So let's join together and pray for Mr. Arnie. Lord, we want to lift our brother Arnie up to you right now. I know that he's in a lot of pain physically, and I know that the doctors have been working with him as much as they possibly can, but just know that his body needs to rest. And Father, so we thank you for the medical technology that makes it possible to heal bodies that are broken. And we know that ultimately, one day, you're going to heal all of our bodies, and we're going to meet you in the sky, God, just like the song that Robert just sang. And so, Father, we thank you for that. But we pray that you would comfort him, comfort Miss Anita in the days while she watches over him and cares for him. And we're so thankful for their family and for the ministry that they've done. And we ask your blessing on them in Christ's name. Amen. All right. Well, Bob Jones, I've had the privilege to introduce him in lots of different places on several different continents and lots of different countries. And y'all are breaking the number one rule that I always go by with Bob Jones. I never give him a mic. Okay? But you guys have done that this morning, so you better get ready. Bob played a little baseball, I guess, at Warsaw Baptist University back when they let guys that were 5'8 and weighed 129 pounds play baseball, but grew up, I think, in Little Rock, spent most of his time in Sheridan, Arkansas. This guy is a joy and a privilege to call him my friend and also to do ministry with him. We have handed out so many Bibles together and witnessed in so many different locations together. It is truly my privilege to welcome Bob Jones this morning. We're so happy to have you come. So, Bob, why don't you come on and talk to us this morning? He is currently the Arkansas coordinator for the Gideons, for the prison ministry that they do here in Arkansas, and I'm sure you're going to hear a lot of that. So would you give a big First Baptist Church welcome, Bob Jones.
Thank you, brother. I came up here early because he was through before he said all that stuff about baseball. He just didn't know it. Aren't you glad to be part of a church that teaches the Great Commission? We're going to all the world. I've confessed to all the staff I've talked to already that I'm going to lie, cheat, and steal this morning because I'm leading the First Baptist Missions Program together with the Gideons. But you know, we're working for one cause, right? When Jay and I are in Kenya, you know, some of those Bibles, you see pictures, they might accidentally have a sticker that kind of looks like that. That has nothing to do with it. We're telling people about Jesus. We're doing what the Great Commission says. It says, you go into all the world, baptize, teach them to obey. Wow. You know, Greg, there's an expression that I love to use, and I'll probably stumble into it three or four times as I get to talk to you this morning. There's a point at which we quit preaching and go to meddling. Amen? You can talk about drinking and gambling. You can talk about drugs and carousing, and that's preaching. But when Greg said a few weeks ago, or maybe a month or so ago now, who's reading the Bible because of you? Who's coming to church now because of you? Who quit something they shouldn't have been in because of you? Wow, Greg, you quit preaching and went to meddling, buddy. You got on my toes then. But when it's God's word and it gets on your toes, what does it mean? Sometimes our toes get in the wrong place or don't get to where they need to be. Amen? So thank you, folks, for letting us place all these Bibles around the world. Thank you for your support as money's raised to send guys like several of us here. I can't say names because I'll not say something about somebody that's been involved that I should. But you go into the mission field and telling folks about Jesus. What a privilege. What a privilege. Carl is coming back from Germany, probably getting on an airplane as we speak. I asked Mike, and he said it's okay to share a family story. So I'm going to share a testimony having to do with my family because it's not about my family. And Jay said I do prison work, and I do. But let me tell you what my credentials are. I've been doing this for 35 years, been friends with Arnie and Anita since 1986. And, y'all, I've never saved anybody. Amen? It's the blood of Jesus. So sometimes I share stories and testimonies that we're personally involved in, but it's not about me. And you know, you get right down to it. J is not even about the Gideons. It's about God's word and his power. Amen. He changes lives. Carla's getting on a plane coming back from Germany. When she gets back, we'll probably within just a few days go to her daddy's funeral. Now, the guy who was in the wheelchair when we started going to church here, that wasn't her real dad. That was her stepdad. She called him daddy. She met her biological daddy. His name is Carl. She met him after we got married. So that's a different relationship. But there's a testimony there, and it's about the glory of God and the deliverance of God. And I want you to hear it this morning. After we got married, this guy calls, and his name is Carl, and he was her real daddy. And he said, I'd really like to meet you sometime. So they met at an airport in Houston. Carla said that meeting went something like this. She got off the plane. Carl came over. They talked for a few minutes, and he said, well, I've got a good job now. I build power plants in California. I'm the job boss. That whole plant has been done under my construction, under my supervision. I'm successful. Look. And he pulled out his billfold and pulled out a credit card. He said, look, I've got a credit card. Those of you that know Carla know that didn't carry much weight. Daddy, a credit card is not what makes you somebody. Knowing Jesus is what makes you somebody. And so she started to share who we are, who you are. And he started to listen. Before that meeting was over with, he bowed his head and he prayed a prayer. And he said that he believed in Jesus, and he asked Jesus to come into his heart and change it. But honestly, y'all, that, you know, their casual relationship went on for several years, and that profession obviously wasn't very deep. When she met him, he had been married four times. After they met, he got married two more times. So he was 0 for 6 and never darkened the door of a church. That's not what God's people do. So one night, we were in Sheridan, phone rang in the middle of the night, 2 a.m., something like that. And this man says, Carla, baby, I've called to tell you goodbye. I just can't do this anymore. And when we get off the phone, I've got a gun in my hand, and I'm going to shoot myself. Oh, you don't do that. Well, she was able to talk him into not doing what he said until I could get there. So in the middle of the night, I drove from Sheridan to Hot Springs. And I got to literally take a gun out of a man's hand and put a Bible in it. Carl, what you need is not the end of this life. What you need is a new life. Y'all know the story. It's not about me. It's not about what I'm smart enough to counsel somebody in. I don't know how to counsel folks. But I knew that God loved him, and God didn't want him to end that way. So he gave me a gun. I gave him a Bible. And this time he seemed to get serious about it. Because he went from that little camper trailer where he was sitting, and he went to a local church, and he walked down the aisle just like it's supposed to be, and he told the pastor what had happened and where he was. And the pastor and the church family started to counsel him. He joined the church, was baptized in the church. A man of God taught him to obey, made him a disciple. He married a member of that church who was a godly woman. And then he joined the Gideons because he thought it was important to tell folks that God wasn't mad at them. God just wants them to come home. Well, when Carla left for Germany, they had just taken the feeding tube off of Carl. And when he got home, he said, all I want to do is go to heaven now. And I want to know that all my kids are going to be there. And Carla said, Daddy, I'll speak at your funeral and I'll tell that story. So now y'all know the story. What's that story all about? It's not about a guy that builds dams and has a credit card. It's about a guy that got into the Word of God, and God changed his life and made it a whole lot better, made it worth living. And that's what this does, y'all. It doesn't matter if it's guys going to Kenya, guys going to the Middle East, or guys handing out Bibles on campus at Arkansas Tech, or guys going to jail. I just got out at 8 o'clock this morning. I was in jail. You know what you're doing with your pulpit? No, you're surprised I got out. But that's what he told us to do. He said, go tell those guys I'm not mad at them. Tell them they need to straighten up. I want them to come home. And that's what we do. This morning we saw one young inmate make a profession of faith. The guys in the cell block said, he's the best guy in here. We know he's going to heaven. And do you believe in this and this and this? And he said, well, basically what he said is, yeah, I've got it all up here. But he didn't have any of it in here. That's why he had on an orange jumpsuit this morning. But when we left, I think he had it in here. Thank you for buying the Bibles that let us go and do that. Many of the others said, you know, I grew up doing that. I believe that. But I got away from it. I quit going to church. I quit reading the Bible. I got away from the people of God. Yeah, and what's Satan done? He's up here stealing from you, right? He's stolen your time. He's stolen your family. He's stolen your job. He's stolen your money. You don't even have a driver's license. But God can give it all back. He said, I'll restore what Satan has stolen when you come back home. He just wants you to learn to obey. Thank you for those Bibles. You let us go all around the world telling that story. Thank you for that. This picture that's up here now, this is in communist China. You know Arnie is on one of the big committees in the international part of the Gideon ministry. That's under his tutelage. He made it possible for me to go over there. Went to 36 churches like that. And they all look like that, y'all. We got more empty seats here than I saw in 36 church services over there. In 9 days, we went to 36 churches like that. And folks had heard that they would be given a Bible when they got there. Look at this. They're hungry for God's Word. A picture or maybe one like this, we were in a van at 7 o'clock in the morning headed to a church service that was scheduled for 8 a.m. The driver's phone rang. He was one of the local pastors. It's a pastor who we were supposed to be at his church at 10 a.m. He said, are you going to be able to make it today? The driver said, yes, you know, we're going to an 8 o'clock service, and we'll be at your church at 10. We will be right on schedule. Pastor said, well, hurry all you can. There's already 4,000 people that know you're coming. Hunger for the Word of God. And we've got it right here. And God has prospered us so that we can send it around the world. You ought to see what we get to do in Africa. I love Africa. Jay, I finally figured out after you let me go about 5 times. We're color-coded. You know that? When we get out of the big city, they know that we're missionaries. Look at what we look at in Africa. Can you get to that picture? Look at them. Y'all, they're hungry. Jay told me when I started to go, he said, people will literally walk up to you on the street and ask you to tell them about Jesus, ask you to tell them how to be saved. And finally, I think on the second trip, it literally happened. They know we're missionaries. They know that we have what they need. And they'll come. There's mob scenes like that. When we go to the schools there in America, we pray for open doors so we can just go in and lay the Bibles that you buy on a table and tell the kids they're from the local church and you can have one if you like it. And then they go on home. In Africa, we go in and the superintendent says, yes, you give them a Bible, but then you tell them how they can be saved. You tell them about Jesus. It's a good thing Gideons don't preach. Hey, telling them how to be saved is not preaching. Preaching's when you quit preaching and go to meddling. Amen. Y'all, thank you for the folders and folders of pictures like that. People that need to know about Jesus. But y'all, it's time to quit preaching and go to meddling. When we go to jail, we meet boys like my friend Dusty. Dusty's become kind of a fixture around here. He's been to AJ's class, Sunday school, fish cooking. Dusty grew up in a home of abuse. He told me, he said, I saw my dad do crack cocaine. I thought that's how everybody lived. So when I was old enough to get some, I did crack cocaine. My first arrest was when I was 15 years old. From the time that he was 15 until he turned about 35, he served 15 years in the penitentiary system. Dusty went to a Baptist church with me last week. I gave him half the time. He took 3/4 of it. But he was excited. He was telling folks, he said, look, in the eyes of the world, I'm ADC, convict number 12345. But in the eyes of God, I'm redeemed. I'm his child. And he tells them what happened in his life. He went to Fort Smith to do a big drug deal. He overdosed and he died on a bed in the Flamingo Hotel. The medics came and brought him back with paddles. But he said, when I woke up, I knew one thing. I knew I had looked into the outer darkness. And I knew I was scared. They took me to jail, And he said, I was in jail just a few days. I talked to some of the inmates there who were believers. And then a man named Bill Freeman came through. And the man said, here, son, you need this. And he gave him a Bible. He said, God's word changed my life. He had been sentenced to, he confessed to everything he was charged with. His combined sentences on that last arrest were a minimum term of 60 years. He was over 30 then. Y'all, that's life without parole. He said, but I gave it to God. He said, 7 years later, I started a construction business in the free world and started telling people about Jesus. He's been to the local pods with us. He walks into a cell. He says, y'all, I slept right there. I probably had on that orange jumpsuit that you've got on right now. And it doesn't have to be that way because God wants to change you and God will change you. And God has the power to change you. Will you let him? And y'all, I go to jail services with him, and there's 12 saved over here and 6 saved over here and 3 or 4 more over here. What's going on? This is bearing fruit. Lives are being changed, amen? And we're part of it. We take it and we tell it. Okay, now absolutely quitting preaching. No more preaching. Starting to meddle. Where's your Dusty? Who's out of jail because of you? Y'all, that Great Commission doesn't say give some money to the church and give the Gideons some money for Bibles. It says you've got a Dusty. You've got a Carl. You've got somebody in your family. We went to in Sheridan schools. When I lived in Sheridan, we went to the 5th grade. And I'm thinking, these Bibles really ought to go to a guy like Jay and go to Africa. There's a Baptist church on every street corner. These kids are okay. Well, one of the 5th grade teachers was in my Sunday school class. And that following Sunday, after we made the 5th grade distribution, she came up and Bob said, Bob, what y'all do are so special. One of my little girls in class is named Amber. And Amber came up to me and got a special box after y'all left. And I said, Amber, why do you want a box? And a little 5th grader in Sheridan, Arkansas, said, teacher, I've never been to Sunday school and church. I've always wanted to know about Jesus, but either we're gone or we sleep late or my clothes aren't ready. I've never been to Sunday school, Kenny. And now I've got a Bible. I don't want anything to happen to this on the bus, and I want to take my little red Bible. And every night in my room, I can read about Jesus. Y'all, where's your Amber? Mamas, you got little girls that have Ambers over to the house all the time. Where are they going to church? Who's teaching them about Jesus? Daddies, your little boys are playing ball. Yeah, I mean, Matt, my cousin, was out there for 11 hours yesterday in a tournament. I hope they won it. But there's kids on that team that aren't here this morning. Where's your Amber? Where's your Dusty? Are we doing what God told us to do? You know, we can make a big difference. We do it in China. We do it in Kenya. And what does God want us to do? There's people around the world. There were people that live under the bridge that came up here this morning and drank coffee and ate donuts. We got to take care of folks like that. You know, God tells us, you take care of people that nobody wants, I'll send you people that everybody wants. So what does God want us to do? He wants us to do what he told us. When I got on the Kenya team, Jay says, the only deployment that Jesus ever made after the crucifixion, after the resurrection, he said, he told the disciples, go up on the mountain tomorrow. I got one last thing for you. And he said, what? I have all authority, so I'm telling you to go and to baptize and to teach and to make disciples. Are we doing what he told us to do? The last two verses in Matthew 28. What's in Matthew 29? What's in Matthew 29 that's a trick? We're Matthew 29. We're told over in Luke, the Matthew 28 is the end of the chapter. In Luke it says, having said this, Jesus ascended to the right hand of the Father. So what's Matthew 29? It's us. Y'all, Jesus told us to go tell Dusty. He told us to go tell Amber. He told us to go tell everybody and to meddle, to teach them to obey, to teach them to do what God wants them to do so they can be just like Carl that we started with. Carl just wants to go home. Y'all, are you getting folks ready to go home? We can do it. We do it through the church. We got a staff here that loves to meddle. They push us. They encourage us to witness. We got a message to take. We're taking kids to New Orleans in a couple of weeks. We're going to Kenya in a month. Lives are going to change, y'all, and we get to be part of it. That's the miracle. The power who raised him from the dead is at work in each one of us, and he wants us to open the floodgate and change lives. So you ask yourself, whose life am I changing? What am I doing to be obedient? Now, as the Gideon, we ask you for three things every year. We ask you for your prayers. You've heard about Arnie and his situation. Carl is traveling. Many of us are facing uncertain situations in, as far as family things, family health. We ask for your prayers. Pray for open doors around the world so that God's word can go out. We ask you, if you like these testimonies, if you want to be a part of that, we've got kind of a revolt, I guess maybe. We've got some guys here in this church who've heard the stories about guys getting saved in jail and guys getting saved at work. And these are guys who still have hair. And the hair's the right color. It's the color of his, not mine. Because you see, in a few more years, me and Arnie are going to be, we're not going to be talking about Jesus. We're going to be talking to Jesus. So some of you guys that still got some hair need to be a part of this. Join the Gideons. Let your family be a part of it. Anita and our kids grew up together. My little boy's first date was her little girl. How special is that? So think about what God would have you to do to carry out the commission as far as working through the Gideons. And then last, y'all just buy all the Bibles you can. The great thing about serving God is you can't outgive God. He promised us that. And I believe that just like I believe John 3:16. I've seen it too many times. But then last is our personal commitment. And that starts at the altar right here today. What's your situation? Is he mad? Do you think he's mad at you? Or do you know you're going home? If you don't know that you're going home, we need to fix that this morning. We fixed it in some places already. We need to fix it. If you don't know for sure that heaven's your home, let's fix it today. Let's settle it. Like Hank Jacobs says, let's put down a stake, something we can always come back to, because it's the promise of God from the Word of God. And that's as solid as it gets. Or you need to make a commitment to find your Amber, to find your Dusty, to be somebody's Paul, to be somebody's Barnabas. Make that commitment today. Do what God's called you to do, y'all. You cannot outgive him. He loves you, and he wants you to come home. Thank you. God bless you.
Thank you, Mr. Bob. Anytime I'm around him, I just see somebody who's available, who loves the Lord, loves people, and is hard working like crazy, and is willing for God to do whatever he wants to do with him. And that's just a blessing to see, blessing to hear from his heart today. Church family, would you pray with me as we enter our time of invitation this morning? Heavenly Father, thank you for Mr. Bob. Thank you for Miss Carla. Lord, what an incredible thing to hear some specific testimony, God, from what you've done in their family's life and in her dad's life. Lord, be with her as she's traveling right now. Lord, as Jay mentioned earlier, we lift up Mr. Arnie to you and ask you to be with him, God, protect him and heal him. And Lord, for all of their families, God, and those that they're willing, they're committed and literally traveling all over the world to share the word of God with people who don't have it. Lord, as we've been given the clear opportunity, Lord, to respond today in many, many ways, Lord, I pray that you would move in our hearts. God, that you would guide our steps, that you would guide our focus. Lord, that you would draw us to wake up, Lord, to respond and to surrender in any way that we haven't already. God, this is your time. Lord, move in this place, move in our hearts, and it's in Jesus' name that we pray. Amen. Church family, would you stand with me? Let's sing together.
Take up thy cross and follow. Say, I gave my life to rest. Christ who loves me so.
Family, we're about to have our second offering time. This one, as I said earlier, specifically for Gideon's International. And however God is leading you to give this morning, follow through with that. Can I ask you to do something around the room? Any members of the ministry of Gideon's International, would you raise your hand where you are? All right. Look around you, church family. You'll see several. If you're curious, interested, and yeah, thank you. Thank you. Amen. If you'd love to touch base with Brother Bob or any of these folks that you've seen around the room, I'm sure he and Miss Anita could share all kinds of testimonies about his trips, Mr. Arnie's trips all over the world, and what God is doing right now as we're meeting together and all around the world. God is faithful, and he's at work. So find out if God's drawn your heart that direction. There's several around the room that you might have noticed right then that would have raised their hands. Mr. Harry, would you do something? Would you come and pray for this offering as we prepare for this time? Ushers, let's prepare once again for this time. And we're going to watch one more testimony video from Gideon's as we do this. Let's pray.
Pray with me, please.
What can I do?
Father God, we just come now, having heard the testimony that Bob had to render, and certainly knowing our brother Arnie and his condition, we just want to make that evident to you, Father. And we know you know his heart, you know his condition. And, Father, we know that we can trust you in all things. We thank you, Father, for the privilege we have of being Gideons and being able to go and see these things happen. We would want this church to feel this, to know this, Father, as you go into a pod and a cell and you see men laying on the floor and you know they're lost and helpless and without a Savior. And, Father, to have the privilege to be able to go in and just talk to them and help them to understand that God loves them, Father, and they are forgiven when they accept the precious name of Jesus. Father, we thank you for a church that's like this, that just welcomes the extended ministry of Gideon's, and so many are represented here in this church, Father, and we just pray for each man. We pray for this congregation, for these young people, for this couple that's come forward today, Father. We just lift them up, and Father, may your name be magnified among the world, that you might receive praise and glory, that we honor you in each of our lives, Father, and that you continue to attend to us in a way that we need, Father, and we just give you the praise and glory. And I make this prayer in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. Amen.
My daddy had me to spend time with me. I was 6 years old, and I said, I know what I'll do. I'll get him a beer. Well, I got a beer and my fingers wouldn't open it up, so I took a spoon and I popped it open. And I ran up to my daddy and said, look what I done, Daddy. This is for you. He said, all right, son, you open it, you drink it. That was the first time I was ever drunk. I had so much anger and rage. My dad was an alcoholic. My sister sold drugs. By the time I was 12 years old, I was selling drugs in school. By the time I was 17, I was collecting money for other drug dealers. At one time, I had 35 pounds of meth on my back, $250,000. I had 72 cops, 6 dogs, and 2 choppers after me. I was running from the law. Ended up going to jail when a Gideon named Charlie Waters came into my cell, looked me straight in the eye, and told me, Jesus loves you and I love you. I looked at him and said, well, undoubtedly he don't know me. So one day he was telling us about this man Jesus, and I felt this tear start coming up in my eye. And I started fighting that so hard because I was Pat Shelton. I was a man that collected money. I was a drug dealer. I collected money from other drug dealers. I was burning houses, blowing up cars. I was destroying families. Nothing made me cry. And I didn't know what to do. And Charlie came in and told me, would you do this for me? Would you read this book for me? I read the book of John. And I got over there and I got to reading about all these people. I read about Peter and I wrote about all these people in here. And I said, they were nice guys, but this Jesus has got it going on. And then I realized, this man truly died for me. And I got down on my knees and I said, Lord, I don't know you, don't know nothing about you. But if you could take this pain and this suffering, this rage and this anger from me and this addiction, I won't give you my life, I'll surrender. And right at that moment, he spoke to me and he gave me forgiveness. He said, I forgive you. Well, I came up excited. Finally got out of jail. When I got out of jail, I said, God, I'll never come back to this jail. You get me out here, I'll never come back. 1 year to the day, he called me to minister. I went back to the jail. I've been doing the jail ministry for 9 years. We've had over 800 men come out of that jail. Since then, I serve a God that's a God of restoration. He has restored my family. I led my mom and daddy both to the Lord, and he's given me a chance to go out and tell people how wonderful he is. And all this happened because of one man. One man never gave up, and that's why I'm doing what I do today, is because he loved me enough to tell me.
All right, it's my privilege to be here this morning to give you guys some great news. Miss Hallie and Claire, would y'all come on up here with me? And then Mom and Dad, Dusty and Lizza, come on up here. And Hallie and Claire have let us know, we got to meet this week and visit about this. They have followed Jesus Christ, their own personal Lord and Savior. So if you would, rejoice with me in that decision. And we'll be setting up a time in the coming weeks to get them baptized and looking forward to that. Also, this morning before we close, we have a little girl who's lost a very important necklace to her. And so if you by chance find that, please take that to the welcome desk right out here or find one of the guys on staff and we can get that back to the right person. So do you?
All right. Brad Palmer, I think you got some neat guests, some special guests you want to introduce right here. We're having a little reception right after this service, and we want to introduce this family to you. We'd love to have you stop by and see them. I see Nathaniel Hesselbein here. Good to see you here, bud, our current Marine soldier with us this morning. So glad to have you with us this morning, and I know that there are probably others here as well. I just wanted to introduce you to some dear friends of ours. 14 years ago, I got a chance to get on a plane with my uncle and go over to India to visit Boys and Girls Christian Home. And this man was one of the first men that I got to meet that day. And as many of you know, my story, my life has taken a whole different path since that first time that I got to go there. And it's always been a dream of mine to have he and his family come here to the States and spend some time with us. And that happened this week, and they got here on Thursday night, and they're going to be here in the States for about a month. So it's just a really special privilege to have them here this morning. We're going to be in the fellowship hall with them this morning. If you have a minute, just stop in, shake their hand. All of you have been such a huge part of helping our families do what we do. These are the real laborers. Sarah and I do some things, but these are the people that wake up every day of their lives on the other side of the world and care for 200 little kids that were just on the street. And so I just love this family with all my heart, and I just want you to come by and just say hi to them this morning.
Stay here, you want to go ahead and go.
All right. Well, Brad and the Nitinari family are going to head over to the fellowship hall. Please stop by and say hello to them. We'd love to have the rest of you come by and shake a few hands right here with the George family. So let's stand together. Mike, I don't know, did we lose Mike Cloud? I guess we did. I guess I'm in charge. Do you have anything else? All right. Well, God bless you. Thanks for coming today, man. What a great day to be here in the house of the Lord. And so enjoy your weekend and remember those that have served. Thanks again for being here today. Father, we love you. We thank you for today. We thank you for the sacrifice that we know that so many men and women have made in our country over the years. And so, God, we pray that you would help us to remember that tomorrow in their service. And, God, we remember the great sacrifice that you made for us. And we remember, just like these stories that we hear from the Gideons, God, about how lives are being changed. And so, Father, I pray for this money that was collected here today, God, I know you're going to do incredible things, bigger things than we could even imagine with those Bibles, the places they're going to go and the hands that they're going to come into and the lives that are going to be changed. And so, God, we're so thankful that you've blessed us in such a way that we could give and that we could help people that we will never see until we are with them in heaven. So, Father, thank you for this great opportunity. Thank you for Bob and his work and his passion. We do pray for Carla as she travels home and for Arnie, and we thank you for all the Gideons and the auxiliary members. God, what an incredible ministry that is. And so, Father, thank you again for them and their work. God, thank you for these two that have come this morning wanting to be baptized, having acknowledged you as their Lord and Savior. And we pray, God, that you would help them on their walk, that we would encourage them and help them as they grow to serve you and love you. And we ask all these things in Christ.